Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
So what is yours is the kingdom mean? It means God reigns for you, it means God reigns through you, and it means God favors you. And as a citizen of the kingdom, you have a favorable relationship with this king. He's your king. You get all that if, and only if, you are poor in spirit. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," He emphasized the word "theirs." It's like if you in your Bible underline the word "theirs" three times. That's kind of the way it comes out in Greek. And it has that structure has the meaning in the Greek of theirs and theirs alone. Theirs, and that's true for all the Beatitudes. Theirs and theirs alone. Kingdom of Heaven belongs to everyone who's poor in spirit and only to the poor in spirit and nobody else. Nobody else. No one else gets in. Matthew 18, Jesus made that clear. Not even the disciples, not even the apostles would get in unless they were converted. He said, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They're going the way of the world, right? They're going the way of earthly greatness. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and are converted and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Forget about being great in the kingdom of heaven. You're not even in. As long as you cling to pride. The door to the kingdom is very low, and the only people that enter crawl. The Sermon on the Mount ends with a warning. I told you that at the very beginning, the first sermon in the structure. The Sermon on the Mount ends with a warning. And there's a sense in which you could say the Sermon on the Mount also begins with a kind of warning. I mean, the blessings are joyful and they're blessings, but they have a double edge, don't they? They're kind of implied warnings. Jesus is speaking to His disciples, but He's intending to be overheard by the crowds. And the Beatitudes are designed to bring great joy to those whom they describe and great terror to those they don't describe because they're exclusive. So nobody goes to heaven unless they're poor in spirit. And that sounds a little troubling when you first hear that, doesn't it? Because none of us are as humble as we ought to be, right? We all struggle with pride. And if you just think you don't, you really struggle with it. You think you got humility mastered. None of us has perfect humility like Jesus had. So how much do you have to have in order to be in the kingdom of heaven? How much humility do you have to have? How meek do you have to be? How merciful do you have to be? How much do you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness? How much hunger does there need to be? How much poverty of spirit does there need to be? How much do you have to mourn? And the answer to all that is, it's not a matter of how much, it's a matter of whether you're repentant where you fall short. Is there some in your life to the degree that you can, and where you fall short, you're repentant? That's the issue. If you're not fighting a battle against pride, you're not a Christian. Because this side of heaven, the battle's never completely won, which means there's always some pride there, which means there's always something to fight against. Every soul in this room is guilty of pride and self-importance. All of us. All of us drop into the cat theology at some point, including me and you. Right? The question isn't, do you have a perfect victory in this area, but rather, are you fighting against the pride in your heart? Are you fighting it? Do you have trouble thinking of the last time you were selfish? Then you're obviously not fighting the battle. You're not even aware of the battle. But if you can see it as plain as day and it grieves you, that's the mark of a Christian. You see this description of humility here? And you were here last week and you saw what this means. Someone who's humble, who cares about others ahead of himself. Someone who's not easily offended. Someone who's not easily angered. A servant's heart lifts others up. Builds others' reputations without worrying about his own, focuses attention on God, not himself, never boastful, never trying to impress, draw attention to himself, no resources of his own, completely dependent upon God, trusting God. If that sounds appealing to you, that's a good sign. That's a great sign. If that sounds like a drag to you, you go through the Beatitudes, and the more we go through them, the more you think, "Ugh, this sounds like a rough, horrible life. I don't know if I like this." Beg God to open your eyes to see the beauty of it. Repent of your pride and strive for humility, no matter what the cost. Turn to Matthew 13, just in conclusion. Just give me 90 seconds and I'm done. Matthew 13, 44. I'd like you to look at the first seven words of that verse and then stop. Matthew 13, 44, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure." Now just stop right there. Just let that sink in. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's like a treasure. Let's read the whole verse. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field." If you want to understand this parable, you want to be able to interpret this parable and get the meaning, just take a pen and underline the phrase, "in his joy," and you'll get it. The point of this parable is not that the man sold everything to get the treasure. The point of the parable is that his joy drove him to sell everything to get the treasure. That's how much more desirable this treasure was than everything this man owned. So how should you respond to this sermon? What should you do in response to this sermon? What's the application? Jesus said it right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6:25. "Do not worry about your life, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Seek His kingdom. Gaze upon the treasure of this kingdom and keep gazing until your joy drives you to repent of anything that doesn't match the GF.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.